Jury sequestration can take a heavy emotional toll on jurors. Suffering the absence of their family and the prolonged stress of communal tensions is difficult. The courts frequently try to alleviate their burden as much as possible. On the Zimmerman trial, which consisted of 6 jurors, the jurors were taken to Outback Steakhouse, a night of bowling, and the museum Ripley's Believe It or Not. On the Casey Anthony jury, the jurors went to the movies Green Lantern, Hangover 2, and Super 8. They also frequented restaurants like Olive Garden and Houlihan's. The Stowe jury were afforded fewer contact and field trip privileges than most. But when Adelaide's birthday took place during a day of deliberations, the court felt it was the least they could do to present her with a cake.
Oh,
how sweet.
Wow. So, birthday girl, happy birthday. Big slice or a small slice?
Oh, really small slice. Oh,
happy birthday,
chocolate
Adelaide.
Chocolate is my favorite.
Oh, how'd they know, I wonder?
I don't know.
Happy birthday.
But
so what are you, 16, 27? How old are you this year, Adelaide?
I think we're doing 29 one more time.
Ooh, 29? There you
one
go.
One more time.
That's awesome. Hey, is it possible we can make this cake do double duty?
Like what? What do you have in mind?
Mikey, isn't it your corgi's birthday? You told me that the other day.
Can you pass that to
Adelaide? You had like a special birthday party all planned for your dog and like your doggy friends and stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
We can have like a your birthday and his corgi birthday party too.
Yeah, you know, it's so nice that the court system makes sure we're all happy here. Thank you, Krasinski.
It's not fair. Well, thanks. I mean,
it's good though.
I'm really sorry that they didn't give you your visit, because I don't understand that, because they escort me to church.
I don't understand. It's like you didn't even ask for a cake.
No, I didn't.
Are you sure you don't want him?
Thanks again.
I'm certain.
Well, I know. Looks like how about we all give you a special birthday present?
Yeah.
Let's all, like, vote guilty for her birthday.
Hey!
Hey, guys. Did you hear Harriet's idea? I like it, too.
What was it? What'd you say?
Thank you.
Yes, she did.
Thank you.
It was a wonderful idea. Go ahead and tell them for Adelaide's birthday. We're all going to vote guilty. Yay!
Yeah, so we can get out of here and I can go home to my husband and my daughter my granddaughter.
Happy birthday!
Well, I mean, that's a funny idea,
yeah,
but like,
no offense,
I mean, I know
guys,
that you're not
like
really
going
to do
right
that, right?
Hey,
not only hey
is
guys.
It's morally wrong, but it's vertically wrong.
It's called a joke.
Okay,
it's just
you're
a birthday
joking.
Joke.
All right, no, that's funny.
Anybody want to sing happy birthday for Adelaide?
No. Happy birthday.
Oh, come on.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
Get out of
this, Mikey.
Happy birthday.
You know about the cha cha cha?
Adelaide. Happy birthday to you.
Adelaide, how do you know about the cha cha cha?
You have a beautiful voice.
I always did it. I thought only we did that in our family, did the cha 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 at the end.
I don't sing professionally, but I would sing on your birthday.
I've gone to so many parties and no one says cha cha cha. Now I'm the only one saying cha cha cha. So you said it too. Oh my gosh. No wonder we're such good friends.
Where'd they get this cake again?
Winn-Dixie.
It tastes like the cardboard.
I think it's a Winn-Dixie. That's what the Bailiff
Piggly Wiggly's cakes are so much better. I don't know why they didn't go
chocolate
to Piggly Wiggly.
Chocolate tastes good anyway.
It's kind of dry, though.
Oh, yeah, I could use a glass of organic soy.
That's naughty, Bill. Come on.
They don't have that at the Winn-Dixie, baby.
Just use the frosting.
The frosting is good?
Oh, yeah.
Chocolate. You like it, Adelaide?
Chocolate.
Yeah,
that's all right.
Well, I'm glad chocolate. You're getting some like good food a little bit on your birthday.
It'll help me focus while we try to resolve all this issue. Oh, look at that. It just kind of hangs from my fork.
Oh. Spoke too soon.
Happy birthday.
And I want to say thank you to Rose for leading off the birthday song. I thought it was very sweet of you.
Well, I'm glad.
It was real sweet.
It was really
okay,
sweet.
Yeah. All sang. Yeah, we all did that. It was all of us.
Very nice, Rose. You're a wonderful foreman.
All right, we have the cake. Can we like get back to talking about the case now? I just want to, go back to
enjoy her birthday for 2 seconds, Mikey. 2 seconds can we enjoy Adelaide's birthday?
We did. We sang.
My party, I can cry if I want to.
Okay, that was pretty funny.
It's nice to see you smile, Mikey.
Yeah.
I was on the Tomboy X website this week, and I was stoked to see they have a Halloween shop up now. I loved scrolling through their fun, edgy prints and styles, and especially seeing the array of gorgeous models in every size, shape, age, and gender. These styles were not designed to fem you up, sacrifice your comfort or function for frilly trends. This underwear is different. It's about being comfortable and fitting your identity, whatever that is. Bras, briefs, trunks, racerbacks, wear anything you want without being put into a box. I've noticed there are no men or women sections on this website. There are clothing sections. And no body limitations. Everything comes from X small to 4X. This is the most progressive underwear shopping experience I've ever had. Finally, you can feel comfortable in underwear that's made to fit you and how you see yourself. Regardless of where you fall on the size or gender spectrum, Tomboy X offers amazing underwear that any body feels confident in, inside and out. Isn't that what it's all about? Go to tomboyx.com/deliberations and check out their special bundles and pack pricing. And Deliberations listeners get an extra 15% off with code DELIBERATIONS. Again, code DELIBERATIONS for an extra 15% off. Ditch whatever you're wearing for a pair of Tomboy X underwear. Go to tomboyx.com/deliberations.
Ladies and gentlemen, so far, the state has offered a lot of speculation, but very, very little fact. Luckily, we don't live in a country that convicts people on unsubstantiated theories. So let's look at the facts. In the months leading up to Ava's death, she was struggling with very serious financial issues.
Dana Reed, Ava CPA.
Ava gave the appearance of being in much sounder financial shape than she was actually in. The rest of the world saw this glamorous movie star in million-dollar homes. But the truth is, she signed ironclad prenups in both of the marriages she made to wealthy men. And the money she earned from her movie career, she spent as fast as she earned. She lost money through frivolous spending, and she lost money through bad investments. There were several occasions I advised her against investments in friends' enterprises, but she wanted to be supportive. And she lost her shirt more than once.
Ms. Reed, what were her finances like in the summer of 2017?
Not good at all. Ava opened a line of credit with the contract she signed from her movie. Leave it with me. She was depending on that money. When she got fired, it was not a minor setback. She became unable to afford her mortgage, let alone the taxes and maintenance. When I made her aware of this, she grew upset and seemed to spend more. Her spending was a dangerous cycle.
A dangerous cycle? Interesting. How long had you been Ava's CPA?
18 years.
I see. And was this the worst financial shape you've known Ava to be in?
Yes.
Ms. Reed, did Ava have any residuals coming to her?
Yes. In 2015, she had done the comedy Lying Low, which earned $120 million. The film cost about $40 million to make, and she had already spent her $4 million paycheck. But she was also contractually entitled to 0.08% of the back end, which I estimated was about $6,400,000.
And that money was going to help solve her financial problems?
Yes. I advised her to curb her spending until that money came in. Once that happened, she had been able to relax more into the lifestyle she was used to.
Ms. Reed, was there a date set for which that money would be paid to Ms. Michaels?
No.
Uh-huh. Could it theoretically take 2 years or more, beyond the summer of 2018, for Ava to see so much as a dime of this?
Perhaps. There were a lot of factors the timing of that payment could depend on.
And in the meantime, Ava was in debt. And she was digging herself into a deeper and deeper hole.
Objection. Asked and answered.
I'll withdraw. You're right. It was answered.
Ava's firing affected more than her financial solvency. The defense argued it affected her personally. And they presented good evidence. In the aftermath of the studio's announcement, loathsome blog posts and tweets began appearing.
It was so hard on her. Her professional reputation was being dragged through the mud. If you're labeled in Hollywood as someone who's difficult to work with, your job prospects dry up. So that was an additional consequence of her being fired. But what seemed to bother her more was the way the public opinion of her was shifting. That was something that was very important to Ava. And being judged or mocked for her work ethic was affecting her emotionally because she wanted to be liked. She was used to being loved. And so, you know, that's hard.
You're saying Ava was negatively emotionally impacted by the press she was receiving in the spring and summer of 2017.
Yes.
Did you ever witness her crying about this?
Yes.
Okay. Ms. Newman, was Ava Michaels in a relationship during the summer of 2017?
A romantic relationship? No.
Her last marriage had ended more than 2 years ago, hadn't it?
Officially, yes. It was understood that it was over before that ink was dry, though.
Okay. Do you think Ava's absence of romantic life during this period, was it difficult for her?
Of course. Ava was a very romantic person and put a lot of emphasis on the importance of relationships and of love. She tried very hard in both of her marriages. She wanted to make it work, particularly with Spencer. She tried desperately to have him stay and work on the marriage. It was a big blow when he left.
Mm-hmm. Would you say Ava was happier in the times of her life in which she was in a relationship?
Yes.
Has she tried dating since establishing herself in Palm Beach?
Yes, there was a man from Mexico she went out with a few times, but I don't think it was very serious. And there were a couple of men she met from D.C. And I think she had some high hopes where they were concerned, but it didn't work out with either of them.
Uh-huh. Why didn't it work out?
My understanding is they were both otherwise committed.
Neither of them decided to pursue Ava?
That's right.
Okay. Ms. Newman, how old was Ava Michaels in the summer of 2017?
She was 46.
And in her field, how is that viewed?
I hate to say it, but poorly. Aging was a difficult process for Ava. I mean, if she'd been a character actress, maybe things would have been different. But she was always the ingenue. She was always the sexy, girlish character. And unfortunately, she never accepted roles that seemed to evolve her beyond that. It was like she was trying to hold on to that image of herself. It was the way she defined herself, and she had trouble adapting to a more mature stage in her 40s.
You're saying that she struggled emotionally with the aging process?
Yes.
And did she witness press coverage in the weeks leading up to her death that attributed her professional termination to her age?
There were some vicious tweeters and haters who said things like that, yes. And she saw some of it. Yes.
Thank you.
Miss Newman, where were you July 11 through July 13, 2017?
I was in Los Angeles.
Were you there alone?
No, I accompanied Ava to LA because she was having a meeting with the studio and I was acting as her manager.
What was the meeting about?
Possibly rehiring her and starting back production on Leave It With Me.
So she was in talks to resume work on Leave It With Me during mid-July.
Yes. Nothing was decided, but she was optimistic. Negotiation had commenced, and we both believed it would be fruitful.
So in July and August of 2017, Ava Michaels had reason to believe her professional setback may be reversed.
Yes. It was a tenuous but positive step for her.
Ms. Newman, you returned from L.A. to Palm Beach July 13th, correct?
That's correct.
So from July 13th till August 4th, did you ever witness Ava yelling?
Sure.
Did you witness her crying in that period?
Yes.
Did you witness her arrange any emergency therapy sessions during that period?
Yes.
Did you witness her taking prescription meds in an effort to calm herself during that period?
Yes.
So she wasn't that positive, was she?
Objection, Your Honor. Defense has grown argumentative with the witness who stated on direct that she witnessed a...
Let's flash forward to August 4th. In the afternoon, Ava asked whether there was any oxygen in the house. Any oxygen in the house? What an odd question. Why would someone in their right frame of mind inquire about oxygen? Inquire about a life-preserving tactic? What reason would she have for doing such a thing? The prosecution hasn't offered one. Ladies and gentlemen, ask yourselves, why not? And do not forget, please, the most important testimony you've heard all trial. Ava's neighbor and friend, Paul Larson, received a call from Ava on the night she died.
Paul Larson was an aspiring actor, not wholly unfamiliar to the trial spectatorship. He was known for having fabulous beachside parties, but in truth never graduated beyond B-movies and fledgling series. A percentage of observers were already familiar with Larson's celebrity. Having dabbled in a large amount of hair gel and a small amount of reality television, he didn't enjoy the steadfast image of a Walter Cronkite or Michelle Obama. Yet, he testified about a very incriminating statement made by Ava Michaels the night she died. If a woman on the brink of overdose makes a call stating, "Say goodbye, say goodbye," what conclusion is there for the jury to draw?
It was about 8:30 when Ava called my house. She had been invited to come to dinner, and so I thought maybe she was calling to say she was on her way. We had a bunch of mutual friends already over, but that wasn't why she called.
Mr. Larson, can you tell us why did she call?
It was a bit hard to follow. She was clearly inebriated. This level of drunkenness wasn't uncommon for her, and neither were the late-night phone calls.
I see. What did you two speak about?
She was just telling me that I was a great guy, and that she loved me, and that she loved my wife, and that she loved our house and our friends. She wishes she was with us, but she was too tired, and so she was sorry.
Mm-hmm. Did she say anything else?
Yes, she asked me to say goodbye to my wife, say goodbye to our friends, and say goodbye to myself, because I was a nice guy.
I see. What did you take that to mean?
I wasn't sure. I mean, yes, it might have just been drunk nonsense, but something about it didn't sit well. Something about it sounded ominous.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was Ava's escape call. Whether she actually intended to die or intended to be rescued, It doesn't matter. She still took the pills herself. She still committed suicide. Remember the testimony from her previous suicide attempts. In every attempt, she was discovered. In every attempt, there was someone around to discover her. She was sharing a hotel room with her first husband, who discovered her. She was living in a house with her stepson, who discovered her. She was sharing a rental in the Hamptons with her husband, who discovered her. Well, now, she was living alone. So what did she do? She made a phone call. She wanted to say goodbye. This was a cry for help. I'm sorry if anyone finds her therapeutic practice odd. I'm sorry if anyone disagrees with Ava's and my client's choice to conduct therapy in the manner that they did. But ladies and gentlemen, consider, you are not judging whether or not Dr. Stowe was a good therapist. You are not judging that. You are judging whether or not he murdered Ava Michaels. Ladies and gentlemen, he didn't. My client is innocent.
You know what's not smart? Job sites that overwhelm you with tons of the wrong resumes. But you know what is smart? ZipRecruiter.com/Chelsea. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't wait for candidates to find you. ZipRecruiter finds them for you. Its powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, and then actively invites them to apply. So you get qualified candidates fast. No more sorting through the wrong resumes. No more waiting for the right candidates to apply. It's no wonder that ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. This rating comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/CHELSEA. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Chelsea. Please, do the show a favor, do yourselves a favor. ZipRecruiter.com/Chelsea. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Oh, okay. So our next bit of instructions that I have here with regard to reasonable doubt, I'm just going to state that here so I can kind of, you know, frame about how we need to be thinking about reading and understanding the data, essentially, what we've been given to deliberate on. Okay, here it goes. A defendant in a criminal action is presumed to be innocent until the contrary is proved. And in case of a reasonable doubt whether his guilt is satisfactorily shown, he is entitled to a verdict of not guilty. This presumption places upon the prosecution the burden of proving him guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. Reasonable doubt is defined as follows. It is not a mere possible doubt, because everything relating to human affairs is open to some possible or imaginary doubt. It is the state of the case which, after the entire comparison and consideration of all the evidence, leaves the minds of the jurors in that condition that they cannot say they feel an abiding conviction of the truth of the charge. The prosecution has the burden of proving beyond a reasonable doubt each element of the crimes charged in the information, and the defendant was the, and that the defendant was the perpetrator of any such charged crimes. The defendant is not required to prove himself innocent or to prove that any other person committed the crimes charged. Okay. So this is different from the motive stuff.
He doesn't have to prove that Ava killed herself.
Or that anyone else did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just have to, because, again, Dr. Stowe is on trial. We just have to figure out, the state has to make us feel that there is, that we can't say that there's any conviction, abiding conviction of the truth of the charge. So if there's any reasonable doubt of the charge that he murdered Ava, then that would essentially mean, I guess, that he's not guilty.
But it says entitled to a verdict of not guilty. It doesn't mean we can't vote him guilty.
That's true. That's true. Mm. That would be called jury nullification.
And additionally,
What's
by
that?
The way, did you notice that there's always some doubt? And there is. Because among other things, we've got Ruth is dead.
Right.
So we don't have her testimony.
Correct.
And we have no idea what part she really played in all of this other than watching Ava.
Mm-hmm. To answer your question, Mikey, if we feel, given everything, so even if there isn't, if we feel like there's not reasonable doubt, we could, you're right, we could say guilty anyway. Like, no one's going to, I mean, we're the only ones in this room. All right, let's go. Let's talk about it.
So let's talk about Paul Larson, the neighbor, the mm-hmm. friend mm-hmm. who received the call.
The Playboy.
I don't know if that was ever said.
He had big Playboy parties at his beach house.
He was married. His wife was there.
They swung.
Well, all I'm saying is what he said that Ava called him and said was disturbing, as disturbing as her asking for oxygen earlier mm-hmm. That we heard. And her calling saying that I love you, I love your wife.
Right.
She loves everything.
Yeah.
And tell yourself goodbye. Mm-hmm. I don't know why she would call saying those things if she wasn't crying out for attention.
Well, he attention, did. Yes, but not necessarily wanting to kill herself.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So, and I think that she, after she said, I love you, then she thought, well, I better say that I love your wife. I better say that I love everybody, because otherwise it's going to be taken as I love you, because everybody knows she's a flirt.
Well, let's just go by the record. Larson even said, she has a history of drunk dialing me. This was not out of the ordinary. She always calls late, sometimes calling drunk. And I know that you know, and other people, I'm not saying anyone, that when you drink sometimes, you drunk dial some people. And I'm going to even put it out there. I have an aunt who doesn't make it to Thanksgiving, but she feels so guilty about it. She calls and she makes everyone say hello to her drunkenly and then goodbye. Bye, Aunt Velma. And everyone at the party has to say goodbye to her, even though she didn't come and she could have said it herself, because she's drunk dialing them. And again, Larson said, she has a history of this, so I don't think that's anything out of the ordinary.
But he did say this one sounded different than the other ones.
That's mm-hmm. true. He did say that. I mean, but everything is, you know, a little different after someone's pronounced dead, mm-hmm. right? You start reading into things. So we don't know. We mm-hmm. just know that
Could
she's done
be
it before.
Same.
I mean,
right?
Well, doesn't Ava, she had a history of none of her relationships working out, right?
Right.
Not only that, the suicide attempts that go with mm-hmm. some of those relationships, it's just what kind of is a little alarming to me.
Yeah, but most people that don't do well in love don't kill themselves. They just keep trying to better find a better date.
Well, I don't think we can keep saying most people, because it's clear that Ava wasn't most people.
Mm-hmm. And no, she was a borderline.
Yes.
Yeah.
In her situations, in relationships, or when she was feeling down or things weren't going her way, she was upset, she would cry out for help, mm-hmm. as was pointed out.
Most people do that.
Yes. So, but most people want to take a lot of pills or, you know, get drunk and inebriate.
We have no evidence that she took pills, remember?
Well, I mean, in her previous suicide attempts.
Mm-hmm. But we can only go by the evidence today. There was no evidence of her taking the pills.
And
in all those situations.
In all those situations, she knew that somebody would find her because she lived with somebody. She was with somebody.
She didn't know.
No. I mean, what I'm saying is mm-hmm. that there was somebody there, staying there or whatever, mm-hmm. each time in this situation.
She had Ruth.
She had Ruth.
Yes, she did.
So there you go.
But, but you know what? What if she didn't really trust Ruth? There's indication she didn't trust Ruth.
She might not have trusted her husbands and stuff, too.
She didn't trust any of her husbands at all. Again, she divorced them.
And she signed prenups.
That's
true, the financial aspect of that.
But she did think that they would rescue her, whereas Ruth...
Maybe, we don't know.
She said that Ruth was nosy. She said that Ruth... You know,
she would know if she was alive or not. I don't know. I thought
financially she was doing not so well.
She wasn't.
It's kind of funny, though, with the financial stuff, that it seems from 2015 on, her financial problems got worse.
And that's when she started seeing Dr. Stowe.
The whole time. Yeah. And also, there was pointed out, too, that she never had a romantic liaison during that time because Dr. Stowe took up all that time between 2015 and 2017. Mm-hmm. So, again, he was the daddy and the father.
And it did and say the, in the yeah. thing she was getting better, too, and she did better in relationships. So I'm thinking she might have saw it as a...
Yeah. And she wasn't getting better financially in this relationship because, again... He was there, and
you
he
all
was...
are bringing up the finances, and that's not. Let's understand that she
I didn't
spent.
Bring it up. Krasinski did.
Okay, well, good point, Kay, because she spent more than she was earning.
Right,
like, as soon as she
that's
would get
typical
it in,
of a borderline.
It would go out. Well, I mean, we can call her a borderline. I just don't want us to call Dr. Stowe a murderer. She was expecting $6.4 million at any time. It hadn't came yet. She was depressed since 2015. Right, Dr. Stowe trying to help her.
And I know if I got $6.4 million coming in next week, I ain't going nowhere till I get my check, baby.
But you don't know what's coming in next week. There's no timeline.
If it's coming 2 weeks from now, I'm waiting till then.
There is no timeline.
Even if it comes in 4 months, I'm waiting for that money because I want to spend
you guys,
it.
You that's not the point whether you guys are waiting for the money or not, but we appreciate that.
That's very, very true.
The point is she's not living within her means, okay, and she's spending erratically. Yeah, whether she's a borderline or a lot and going manic, it doesn't excuse that these are, you know, erratic type behaviors that absolutely, you know, needed the assistance of a doctor.
It was new behavior because her CPA said that she had done, this is the worst that she had ever seen her in the 18 years that she was her CPA. This 2-year period with this person who was draining her, playing her like a puppet.
Don't say this person. It's not because of
his
Dr.
name is Dr. Stowe.
Stowe.
The person Dr. Stowe.
Yes,
the person,
I understand what you're saying, but it's not his fault. This is the worst that she's seen her out of 18 years.
It doesn't mean she didn't spend stuff.
And this time, her cry for help wasn't answered. No one found her. So this is the worst I'm feeling.
Ruth found her,
remember?
I'm going
to go ahead and cry out for help. And as usual, somebody will find me. But this time, nobody found me and she's dead. Her life was taken. But Dr. Stowe did not take her life.
Her life was taken.
Taken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
her life was taken.
You know what?
Good word.
I agree.
Taken.
It could have been taken by herself.
Taken by herself. Thank you. You know what?
I'm here for you.
I don't know if we have degrees or what it is, but you know.
Well,
what?
We got
people
degrees
that have a pending lawsuit.
Capacity.
They have a $6.4 million check coming in, and friends that are like divorcing other people and living lives are happy. Sure, they have problems. It doesn't alleviate their issues, but they keep struggling. They don't say, you know what? I need to check out because I got to wait a whole month for that check. Oh my gosh!
I do find it.
It was more than a month,
go ahead,
presumably.
Mike.
Go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to say, I do find it a little weird, though, that, okay, so Penelope Newman is her publicist, and yet she was acting as her manager.
Yes.
Talking to the
studio.
The studio, exactly.
Trying to get her.
Penelope's her best friend.
Trying to get her
hired.
Wasn't
she the manager?
She was her best friend and manager, yes.
She was her friend and her manager, but not her publicist.
Not her publicist.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, sorry. Well,
no,
I was
okay.
going to
say. Pay attention.
Dozing
on.
Off again.
No, it's okay, Mikey. Go ahead. Your point is still well made.
Not
well,
Karen again.
I was just going to say it felt weird that, like, she was giving her more responsibility. It kind of sounded like maybe Ava had a way of, like, kind of trapping people into taking on more than what they were supposed to be doing.
Very
maybe,
well said.
Maybe she decided to have Penelope, her long trusted friend, be her manager because she realized that Dr. Stowe was bleeding her dry and causing her problems.
Absolutely.
And she needed.
Also
and also the studio, the studio even said, we don't trust him. We don't want him anywhere near her.
Yeah,
so she knew to get her job back, she had to dump this guy. And yeah, hello.
Dump him? Oh, I thought it was a patient relationship.
No,
with
she was
doctor.
Suing him for malpractice. She was dumping him
she
as her physician.
She was on her way to do that.
That's
okay,
right.
So we're talking about a relationship that they had. Let's talk about the relationship that her and Penelope had. Penelope was trying to get her the job back, the same job that Dr. Stowe was trying to get back.
Yeah, the manager.
The same job that the studio said, we don't want her back, goodbye, and we don't want to talk to Dr. Stowe, we don't trust
him.
They could
have said the same thing to Penelope Newman.
No, they got a second audience because they turned them down. They were in negotiations to get it back. They had already said no to Dr.
Stowe. And did
Stowe.
She get hired back?
We don't know
no,
because
she
she's dead.
No, she didn't get hired back.
And Penelope was very adamant.
Days. Let's bring her up and put her to work.
Penelope was very adamant that her romantic relationships never worked out, you know, if at all. So I think that just speaks to her, you know, her
what
testimony.
What does that say? So what, she didn't have great loving relationships with sexual relationships?
Stability. No, yeah. Just you would think that, you know, if she was mentally stable and emotionally stable, maybe one of those would work out. Maybe even for a 10-year period.
Wow.
It just seems that,
didn't your marriage dissolve? Are you emotionally stable now?
Let's not go.
I wouldn't say
that. Why do we got to attack Bill?
Because
I don't understand.
The thing is, we have evidence of people that if you were divorced, I would say to you, oh, does that mean you're unstable now because you're divorced? But he's definitely said.
But that's one. That's one. She had multiple. So my point is being multiple. You're not five.
Oh, you didn't say multiple.
You see me crying out for help?
Well, I did say multiple. Penelope said multiple.
All right, let's leave it to the facts. Let's just put that one on hiatus and we could talk about that back in our hotel.
I think can I throw something in? I think the reason that she said to Dr. Larson that she was too tired to come to the party is that she had already done the enema.
Larson wasn't the doctor.
I know that.
You said Dr. Larson.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I didn't mean Dr. Larson. Right. I mean Larson.
Her friend. Paul Larson. Yeah.
The reason that she said to Larson that she was too tired to come to the party was because she had already taken the enema, and she was feeling all those barbiturates in her body.
But we don't know when exactly. I don't think like the when the enema or if like these are like that part we don't really know.
Like, did we find any empty
about why
enema
she was tired or why maybe she could have also just been tired from having a 90-minute session with Dr. Stowe and just you know.
But she got up at noon.
I mean,
and so she wouldn't be tired by.
But Penelope got up at noon.
She was up well before noon.
Penelope got up at noon.
Oh,
Penelope.
Yeah, because she is an insomniac.
Yeah.
And she was mad because Penelope, how dare she sleep? And that's what the argument was about.
Yeah.
Do you think any of this has to do with, you know, the way Ava was aging? I mean, she's 46 years old. She's worried about not getting the roles she's going to get.
As an actress, she's over the hill.
Well, she's losing that kind of control in her career, so maybe she's losing control with her relationship with Dr. Stowe.
I mean, talk about having women reduced to the common denominator of her age. She's got to kill herself because she's 46.
Oh, it's not the garnishment that I'm making for people to be in films. What I'm saying is Hollywood, you know, is very, you know, can be very harsh. So at 46, you can tend to be over the hill. I don't make these rules, Adelaide. I'm telling you, those are the producer.
She's not going to get that. You want it to be typecast. That's different. But you still want to be the bombshell.
I totally agree with you.
That's right.
I'm not disagreeing with you. But what
you're
saying.
I mean, come on.
But I understand what you're saying. I really do. But what you're saying is because of these things that she's going to just end her life. That doesn't make any sense.
I'm just saying it was factors of instability.
It doesn't make any sense for her to try to end her life four times previously. She was hurt financially. She was emotionally upset. She's used to trying to take her life or cry out for attention. This time, nobody found
when these things go wrong.
When was the money coming in? It didn't come in
yet. But it was going to come in.
They just said they didn't know in the foreseeable future.
She's literally going broke. She is in debt. And she knows she has money coming in, but it isn't here now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm hurting now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, but she could have gone to those places and said, you know,
she had already got a loan. She had already got a loan.
I know, but she could get another one because she is a star who is saying, I have this money coming in. Oh, yeah. They
would definitely give her a loan, and then she would spend it as fast as it comes in because that's what she does. She's a borderline, as you always say.
Right. She can spend all she wants to.
But she was still optimistic.
And then she would be back in the same situation. She would be crying out for help.
She didn't know she would be because that's borderline.
Yes, Rose.
Thinking about the finances, the romantic life, the aging altogether, alongside with the fact that for the two, all of these things are coming to a crescendo underneath the fact that she's like during the time frame she's seeing Dr. Stowe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that if she at the that voicemail, going back to what we were thinking about earlier, all of these issues, and then she says, you know, I want to, you know, essentially she's threatening him to expose inappropriate things or whatever, and then he calls her back saying, stop harassing me, you can say whatever you want. I mean, there's a lot here that would essentially point to the fact that she's trying at least towards the end of her life to remove him from her life.
It's not happening.
And where did all, I mean, like, that the money that she's spending in this erratic behavior, it's getting worse. The treatment clearly not working. I mean,
right.
In terms of removing him, I mean, I wish we had his records, his financial records.
And
like,
the pill records. And
yeah, I wish we had all of this information.
Just like, think, where did that money go? So I think we're pointing it to say that she's spending the money on Dr. Stowe.
Or something's going on. Like, but she's being asked.
Dana Reed has been her CPA for 18 years, mm-hmm. and she's already had this behavior. It's erratic spending.
No, she did not say that. No, you're incorrect.
This is the worst. No, no, she's always been spent.
Yeah, she was always erratic, is what
but
she said.
This is but this is the worst. You all are trying to blame Dr. Stowe for mm-hmm. being the worst mm-hmm. period of her life. That isn't so.
But it's clear that Dr. Stowe's involvement has exacerbated all of the issues that he's supposed to alleviate. Not a very good doctor. Not a very good doctor.
At the beginning of the treatment, it was working. We all agreed upon that. And then it stopped working. You all's argument was, why didn't he change it? But if something was working, go ahead, Alex.
Let's go to reasonable doubt, okay? So, she is anticipating that she is going to sue him and get a lot of money. So,
I don't think he's worth
she's
that
much. Also, well, just... no, but her, but his malpractice insurance will pay it. He's got to have at least $3 million in malpractice insurance.
They have to cover that yeah. Good
that's point. A chunk of money.
Not facts, so, but we'll go. We don't know the exact number. So, he has insurance. We don't know the exact number.
The reality is that he has to carry them. I've been to therapy.
They have to carry those amounts of insurance.
He has to carry that much.
Okay.
Okay? So she's looking at, I'm going to be getting $3 million from this lawsuit because it's a slam dunk. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be getting money from this deal. Yeah, it may be a little while away, but it's coming. And so, and I have this, you know, I have this new deal, so I'm not washed up. I've got a new deal coming up.
What new deal was that?
No new deal. She's just waiting for the back pay.
No, no, no. There's a...
Well, that was the comedy that she did.
She's
getting back pay for that.
She was.
Back pay, it wasn't a new deal. It cost $40 million to make. It made $120 million, and then... So
she got a, what was it, point? So,
no, there was a possibility of a, I'm fairly she, certain somebody said that there was a possibility.
I'm confused. Are you guys saying she
have that series restarted again?
Yeah, Penelope met with her, but it didn't happen.
So was her career going forward or backwards? I don't understand what you guys are saying. Was she on her track for a comeback, or was her career...
She thought she was on track for a comeback.
She thought, but what was the reality? But, I'm curious.
But I don't think she was.
All
she was
I'm not, saying oh. is... She thought she was on track. So so when you look at all the money that she was looking at, that she thought she was going to be getting in the future, there's no reason for her to commit suicide. And on the other hand, you've got Dr. Stowe, who is now facing a lawsuit.
Potential malpractice suit.
I understand. But sometimes money doesn't make you happy. You can still feel depressed and still feel suicidal.
Hold on. We're looking at reasonable doubt here.
Well, you're proving their point. That's what reasonable doubt is.
Let her go.
No. I'm not proving their point.
Well, we're not taking sides. Let's all just be clear. We're all on the side of the law.
But
right?
Does everyone know what reasonable doubt means? Because I feel like...
But what I'm saying is, on the other hand, you've got Dr. Stowe, who has a lot of reason to want her dead. Because he's facing a lawsuit. Not only is it going to hurt his relationship with her, it's gonna affect his relationship with his family. It's gonna affect his practice. He's not gonna be able to practice anymore.
But that speaks to the point of establishing motive, which I feel like at least it seems that Harriet, you, Adelaide, Mikey, and myself, we think that there is a motive, right?
But in terms of proof that he did it without. Reasonable doubt.
Exactly.
That's right. There is that reasonable doubt.
I'm just going to state it. Well, it's not the whole thing, just like one sentence. It's the state. Okay. It is that state of the case which, after the entire comparison and consideration of all the evidence, leaves the minds of the jurors in that condition that they cannot say they feel an abiding conviction mm-hmm. of the truth of the charge, which is he's being charged with murder.
Okay. So that's the one thing is the motive. The second one is. Means, right? And he does have the means. Mm-hmm. The enema would have been the means.
Mm-hmm. But we don't know.
We know that it wasn't pills because she didn't have those crystalline things in her system. So
only two entries in there.
Means. And opportunity. Mm-hmm. He definitely had the opportunity, yes, because he was in there for quite a while before anybody was called.
Absolutely, but there's no facts. But the fact is that she was married four times and she signed four prenups.
So she wasn't,
because she wasn't in it for the money. So
the fact that she was married three other times has nothing to do with that night.
Reasonable doubt. If he met with her an hour before, an hour and a half beforehand, and left, and then she called someone, that's on record that she was still alive. Am I wrong?
Correct. Yeah, she's
still alive. So right there, that's reasonable doubt.
No, because we've got. I mean, yes, you've got that, but
see,
but Ruth called him at 12:30.
Yeah,
12:45.
Which he wasn't at her house.
12:45. He got there at 1:15.
I know.
So we've got opportunity.
That's still opportunity, but there's still reasonable doubt there. It has
nobody's brought up the fact that she was fired from the studio and what that would weigh on some type of person's mind and things like that. How could she be going through a comeback if she just got fired?
You guys, I feel like, okay, so Mikey, I was following you. So the whole thing, so she has the 90-minute emergency session. Then she calls Larson, her friend, later. So we know that between then and then she was still alive until at 8 o'clock. But then we were all thinking, like, you know, a while ago, talking about, like, at what point between 8 and the discovery by Ruth, that from that time she could have self-administered the enemas that were given too much. You could have overdosed. We were all figuring, we didn't know. We looked at the medical evidence. We decided as a group that we didn't know which experts to agree with.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's not something that we're able to sort of, but we know something could have, of course, happened between 12:30 when Ruth wakes up mysteriously. Excuse me. So, I mean, she was alive still at 8, but, like, there's all those hours, after that. And in terms of, you know, if it was a suicide, then, of course, then we have to be thinking about her financial state, her romantic life, the aging, the studio firing, all these things that would, like, give perhaps a reasonable doubt that it was murder. Dr. Stone murdered her, which is the charge at hand. So we just have to think, is there a reasonable doubt?
No facts point to
that.
That's all I'm saying.
We have what you're saying is we have a gaping window, and we have no evidence that Dr. Stowe issued this amount of enema.
We have sketchy behavior.
Okay, sketchy behavior isn't going to happen.
That's not a fact.
We have no facts. Ava wasn't out for money because she didn't sign previous prenups. But you all are saying that she was going to sue him for malpractice. Okay, even if she was, I'll give you that.
Oh, I see your point now, Bill.
I'll also put into account the voicemail that Dr. Stowe left. If you're going to do it, go ahead and do it. And we already talked about that. I'm not going to bring it back up again, but he loved her, so he went over to deal with the situation directly.
Okay.
I'm still going on the fact that we have no actual evidence in that time frame that Dr. Stowe did anything illegal. Immoral? Yes. Not professional? Yes. But illegal? No. I'm not going to hang this man.
Next time on Deliberations, Dr. Stowe takes the stand.
She would try to seduce me.
Exposing herself to you?
Excuse me?
Did you ever have sex with Ava Michaels?
Today's cast. Jury: Cammie Middleton, Brandon Lamberty, Teru Hara, Tony Love, Chris Markle, and Becky Brown. Courtroom: Dan Lerner, Nora Fisher, Sharanya Shava, and Ethelyn Friend. On next Jury Break, we're finishing our talk with Jonathan Young from Bombs Away, exploring Marilyn's history with the picture Something's Got to Give, and how her behavior during its filming may inform us as to the way she died. Thanks, everyone.